name is Catherine Kobolinski. I'm a master's student in soil science from Texas A&M University, and today I'll be talking to you about novel techniques for root phenotyping using GPR, or ground-penetrating radar. First, for our justification, root phenotyping can provide information for plant breeders. Specifically, it can increase plant productivity, enhance carbon sequestration, and it can increase water use efficiency. However, no current technologies exist to phenotype roots in the field, and the technologies we do use often require the excavation of roots that destroys the soil system. So that leads us to need a proximal sensor to be able to detect roots within the field. Specifically, I was looking at ground-penetrating radar, or GPR, as a potential tool. GPR is a non-invasive, non-destructive, near-surface mapping tool, and it works by detecting differences in dielectric permittivity, which often responds to changes in water content. So our overall objective was to assess the potential for GPR to detect and phenotype root biomass and structure in the field. First, I'd like to go into a little detail about how GPR works. It is a bistatic unit with a transmitter and a receiving antenna. The transmitter emits an electromagnetic pulse that propagates through the soil and then bounces off gradients of differing dielectric permittivity. And this received signal goes back to the receiver. Now that received signal is what we call a stereotypical trace, and that is what you see in the graph on the board. It has time in nanoseconds on the x-axis versus signal level in millivolts on the y-axis. Now a signal level is the amplitude of the energy at a given time, and then the energy per trace is that total energy of a single trace. And specifically, that is often in joules, but our energy is very small that we've been working with, and is in femtojoules. Next, for our site description, we had two locations in Texas, one in Lubbock on a clay loam, and the next in Thrall on a clay. For our methodology, GPR transects were on three different crop types. This was sorghum with a fibrous root system, and then cowpea with a tap root system, and then a mix of cover crop with a combination of both root systems. And because GPR responds to changes in water content, we had additional supporting measurements of soil moisture. These included an EM38 survey, which measures bulk apparent electrical conductivity. Then we had surface soil moisture measurements at the top 5 centimeters with a theta probe. And then we had subsurface soil moisture at incremental depths with a neutron moisture meter. And then for our preliminary results, now these are very preliminary results. We actually collected all this data in this past summer season, and we are still working on post-processing and working through different programs. So first, we'll be looking at some traces that we collected at Lubbock on the clay loam and then Thrall from a clay. Again, you see time in nanoseconds on the x-axis versus the signal level in millivolts on the y-axis. And there are two things that we'd like to note on this graph. First is that as we increase from the clay content of clay loam to clay, the signal level appears to decrease. Like I said, that we believe it is responding to an increase in the clay content. Then next we see that the plant row versus between plant row, which is the plant rows in blue and the between plant rows red, there appears to be a decrease where the plants are located. But we believe that this may be due to the growing root systems disrupting the signal. And then on this graph is a transect of sorghum in the Lubbock location that we went across the row fields. It was 2.5 meters long. And again, like in the graphs above, we see that where the plants were located is the blue, and then between the plants are red. And this reinforces what we see in the above graphs, that the locations that don't have plants have a higher energy, while the locations with plants have a lower energy. And again, it's like we said in the above graph, we believe that this is due to the growing root systems disrupting the signal. And finally, for future work, we plan to excavate the roots to ground truth our results, and to repeat the experiment in a sandier soil to potentially see a stronger signal returns. And then my poster number is 1306 if anyone would like to ask me any questions specifically, or I apparently have a minute left to answer any questions. Yes.
Do you think soil fault density is going to be a confounding factor in
the results? It definitely could be. We haven't looked into that, but we do plan on both sites to take soil samples and actually run those to the laboratory to see if there's any relations to that as well. Right.
So I may have missed it. Could you share what the clay content was of the soil and if there were any challenges in terms of depth penetration because of the clay?
Sure. For the clay, I don't know exactly what the clay content was for Lubbock. It was a clay loam, but I know in Thrall it ranges from 40 to 60%. And so it's a very high, and actually GPR is known not to work very well in clay. That's why we're intending to move to a sandier soil for the next step. So that's why we see in femtojoules it's a tiny return signal, and we're hoping to see higher ones when we get back.
All right.